This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grand Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report. With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Biggsy!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, it's all very exciting because now that we've had a chance to see what Denver looks like, I think that we can all breathe a sigh of relief and not worry about game number two of the Chicago Bears season.
Yeah, boy, they didn't get a lot done on defense, the Broncos, last night. Derek Carr came out, I think he completed 18 of his first 20 pass attempts. Raiders were able to run the ball relatively effectively. They were able to throw it to Tyrell Williams. They got the Waller, the tight end, involved. There wasn't much of a pass rush on Carr. They did do a nice job of getting the ball out quickly. So certainly Vic Fangio had to be expecting a little bit more from his defense in the debut in the black hole.
Also, Brad, offensively, Joe Flacco was efficient but not dangerous, and they didn't score a touchdown against the worst defense in the NFL last year until 2 minutes and 15 seconds remained. That offense doesn't look like it's going to scare the Bears. And the talent-wise, you can talk about scheme and you can talk about Fangio's advantages and this and that and all the stuff we're going to talk about for the next several days. This is a game the Bears should win.
Oh, no question about it. Broncos, especially early in the game, I thought had trouble blocking it up for Flacco, and he's not going to elude anyone in the pocket as he plays. You know, he was only sacked three times, and his numbers do actually look pretty solid. You know, passer rating of 105.3 for the game, but that doesn't tell the whole story. That doesn't let you know that a lot of it was underneath stuff. But the only thing they had going was Cortland Sutton across the middle, the wide receiver. So I would expect the Bears' defensive line to be able to dominate this game and really control the tempo of it. I think everybody knows what the Broncos have in Joe Flacco. And the Bears should go to Denver expecting to get a victory and to come back 1-1.
I thought the most insightful comment that I read on the game was from Kyle Long, who went on Twitter and said, "I'm so used to Vic being in the booth, never realized he wears glasses like that."
Okay.
It was pretty funny. It was weird to see him. It was weird to see him standing on the sideline, and it was weird. I watched him in the preseason a couple of times, but you know, he looked a little more lost than I expected.
And he did seem out of his element, Brad, when he was kicking a field goal down 15 with 8 minutes to go.
Yeah, that was – I wondered about that, and that was one of those sort of tough calls, but they just they kept stalling in the red zone. And you try to get the points there, or you go with your pretty good kicker, and you want to – how much of it do you want to put on Flacco? Certainly the Broncos were hoping to do better, and that game was okay, but boy, guys, that first game last night was something else, wasn't it?
Oh, that first game was great. You had a terrific performance from Deshaun Watson, you had a better performance from Drew Brees down the stretch, and you had the Saints, you know, overcoming a lot of things. Yeah, that was as good of a week one effort as you're going to get from two teams.
Yeah, to me, sometimes you get some dog matchups on Mondays, and those were two pretty good teams that brought it. So I thought from an entertainment standpoint, that thing was really good.
There was some talk about this idea that Mitchell Trubisky could somehow lose some confidence after that. That would be a real fear, that you got to make sure that you keep him pumped up and he doesn't take it to a point where he's feeling as much like Chris Krasuski as Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, you just got to be careful about it.
Yeah, well, hopefully you didn't see too much of Deshaun Watson throwing it all over the place last night. Because that gap that you talk about for those quarterbacks in the 2017 draft, I think it just gets a little bit wider.
Yeah.
When you see what Mahomes does, 313 yards in the first half and a blowout victory on the road. And then Watson goes into New Orleans, very difficult place to play, is still operating behind a leaky offensive line. I think he was sacked six times. He got nailed on that touchdown pass to Kenny Stills there that you thought had won the game for Houston.
Wow.
But he stands tall and delivers the ball and leads his team and performs and puts up numbers like he has his entire career. And then you look at what the Bears came away with in week one, team effort, not just on the quarterback, but 3 points There's a big gap there.
Oh yeah, and people get tired of that comparison, and I do too at times, because I think it's too easy with Mahomes and Watson. Certainly they're the ones that were passed. But you know what? If that's the case, give us something to talk about, Mitch Trubisky. Give us something how to change the subject. And how you do that is you play in a way that doesn't have the focus on what you're not doing. Give us something positive to discuss and an example of how you're special too, because you've got to be. There's something there. We've seen glimpses of it. You just have to see it more consistently.
Yeah, and they've got to, and it's on the players, and it's on the coaches as well. They were nobody needs a reminder of just how poorly they played against Green Bay. And I went and looked at a few things. The passing game was, I think he was at about 4.96 yards per attempt, okay? But if you take out the pass attempts to, it was 4.96, take out the pass attempts not in, or for Allen Robinson. So all the pass attempts that were meant for anyone but Allen Robinson, 3.94 yards an attempt. That's, you know, Taylor Gabriel, Anthony Miller, Tariq Cohen.
That's check down Charlie.
Yeah, and that's got to get a lot better. And hopefully, Trey Burton is back in action. Trey was able to practice yesterday, and of course, the first injury report of the week will come out on Wednesday. It was a bonus practice, really, for the Bears. Yesterday, as they get a jump on Vic Fangio and the Broncos.
And look, I got to be honest with you. When I saw this game on the schedule, when it first came out, I was very curious, thinking about the idea that Vic Fangio, what game plan will he put together to stop the Bears' offense? What, you know, his knowledge not only of personnel, but also of Matt Nagy and the way that he goes about doing things. I'm sure Vic has looked at it and talked to him about it. And the idea that he could put together a game plan that might then be one that would be used by other teams throughout the course of the season, an early game plan that could do some damage to the Bears' hopes. But it didn't look last night like he had the defense capable of doing that. And I don't know if Vic has some magic, but really hard to scheme up without the talent, right?
Yeah, if he's missing some key pieces on that defense that you need to really make it go, you know, if there's a position that he just doesn't quite have filled, that's going to be difficult. The Broncos missed Bryce Callahan, the nickel cornerback and former Bear last night. he was out, I believe, with a foot injury. So, and you saw them, Oakland went and picked on his replacement immediately with a high level of success. But I just wonder if, you know, it's a situation where up front they've got Miller and they've got Chubb, but they don't have a lot else. And you look on the Bears and they've got Khalil Mack. And while Leonard Floyd might not be quite to the level of a Chubb for the Bears, the Bears can also bring Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman and Bilal Nichols at you. And, oh, by the way, they've got Roy Robertson up there as well. So they've got a lot of talent and depth on that line to sort of support those elite pass rushers.
And Brad, I have to say, this crossed my mind last night watching, is that, okay, the Broncos look bad, and they look like a team that really the Bears should take care of handily in Denver. But the Raiders, on the other hand,
the game in London could be a problem.
That may not be as big of a gimme as you expect. Derek Carr, pretty efficient. That offense,
yeah, Derek Carr looked good.
You get rid of the ball quickly against the Bears. That's the way you, that's the blueprint, the only way you can move the chains. Maybe they're better than you anticipated.
Right, and Josh Jacobs, the rookie running back at Alabama.
Yeah, that's how you use a rookie running back.
Yeah, played. that's a fair point. Played well, and the one thing that struck me watching the game is as Oakland was, you know, pretty effective offensively. Gruden and Carr and the rest of the guys on that offense got a heck of a lot of practice time this summer without Antonio Brown. So it's not like they cut him 48 hours before kickoff and then had to figure out what they were going to do then. You know, he had the cryotherapy chamber BS with his feet and then the helmet. And so he was hardly at practice. So it was, you know, kind of smooth sailing for them. I think they are going to miss him, but they've got plenty of work without him the past month and a half.
Big Z, thank you. Always a joy. Appreciate
Thanks, Brad.
It.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Have a great day. You too.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs. He is the football man of the Chicago Tribune.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.